You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 26th of February 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say today we are welcoming back revisionist historian Carolyn Yeager from carolynyeager.net. Good afternoon to you, Carolyn. How are you? I haven't spoken to you for quite a few weeks and there's a lot been happening in Germany that I really wanted to get your views on.
Oh, thank you. Well, hi, Sven. I've been involved in a lot of things. Things that are going on, work at my house and so on. So, that's been taking up my time. So it's it's been a little difficult to make much out of what's going on. In fact, it's not very encouraging to my mind. The future right now doesn't look as positive as I would like it to look, because a lot of these events going on are I don't think they're going in the right direction or leading us anywhere. Now, we had, as you know, we had this election in Thuringia that blew up, and the forces in Germany that are trying to destroy any populist upstaging are just jumped on that. And so we might cover that a little bit, because I think it's more important than actually than this shooting by this Tobias Röttgen in Hesse that seemed like such a big deal, but it's already, there's nothing much to say about it because they won't put any information out about any of it. You know,
I just seem to want to blame the AfD for it, even though there's no connection whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, it was just a few weeks back. I mean, there was a news report on RT, and the way they made it sound, it was as if the AfD were now in power in Thuringia, and it wasn't. It was basically the AfD voted with one of the parties from the coalition who had promised they never would vote with the AfD, and they both voted together to kick out the communist leader. Now, am I correct in thinking that? And did that lead to Caroline Krempbauer? Is that a name? Krempbauer, the stand-in for Merkel, having to step down. I mean, it was a big scandal. Tell us about that first. I think, Caroline.
Well, yeah, Krempbauer. She's Merkel's choice to be chancellor. Actually. She's already the leader of the CDU. Merkel has so destroyed the CDU and the Germany and everything she's touched, which she was seen, you know, as such a great leader. And she was she could survive everything and she could hold everything together. But she stayed in too long and she's become nothing but a problem and making mistakes and a liability. Until her party is doing very, very poorly, and they are fighting against, they're actually having to compete with the AfD, and also the people vote for the Greens, which I hate that Greens party. People vote for the Greens in Germany now, and when the Greens first came out, they were pretty popular, then they kind of died down. And now they're being resurrected again, big time. So because people don't want to vote for the CDU and they're afraid to vote for the AfD, they don't know where to go. They don't want to go to the Social Democrats, so they end up voting for the Greens. Well, So what happened was that there's just a state election in Thuringia, but the moderates and the left is all freaked out over this eastern states of Germany and that they're voting more and more for populism, and they want to stomp that out. So they have a state chancellor of Thuringia is a member of the left party, which is the Communist Party. They don't call themselves that anymore. But he's popular and he keeps it. He doesn't do anything too far out. And in this election, the AfD put forward a candidate, and he didn't go anywhere. And so at the next vote that they had to take, he dropped out, and all the AfD members voted for the competitor to this Ramelow, who was the left party candidate, who has been chancellor there of Thuringia for the last 5 years. They voted for the candidate for the business party, FPD. It's the kind of pro-business and somewhat conservative party. But they don't like the AfD either. So, but anyway, the AfD members voted for him, and that caused him to win when that party doesn't have much support in that state. And this was so, to me, the reason that everybody got so upset about this was because it showed the way the AfD can use its support and use the power that it does have, limited, to sway things and gives it a power position, as the decider that can come in and say, well, we're going to go with this and that. We'll put this over the top. We have this a lot in the U.S. And I'm sure you have that in Britain. And to see them using their power like that just freaked everybody out. And they had to portray it as evil. So all the media, all the parties, were up in arms about it. And they had even, and Angela Merkel jumped in, and she even said, we can't have this, we cancel this election, we cancel everything out, we're going to do this over again. So they're trying to make it look like it was some kind of a anti-constitutional act by the AfD, and they were really going all out portraying the AfD as Nazi and all that sort of thing in the media, and how dangerous they were and how dangerous this all was, and we must get hold of this and straighten it out. And so now the AfD is taking Merkel and these parties or whoever, they're taking them to court. They've brought lawsuits. They're doing harm to the Constitution and the constitutional order by preventing the results of a democratic election, and that's right. They're exactly right. The AfD is exactly right in saying that that's what these parties and that's what Merkel and the CDU are doing, and it has to go through the courts now. And so now they're not writing about it anymore, because they did have another election, or they did cancel that out, and they did something. And the FDP person who won, when they only have a small percentage of seats in that Thuringia parliament, he won, but he resigned under pressure from Angela Merkel and all her, all her power and all this. The other powers in Germany. He resigned his seat. So that's it. There's going to be another election in March, and we'll see what happens. But the AfD, having no other recourse, because they all these parties, every one of them, supposedly center right to far left, they all joined together against the AFD. And the AFD is not even, does not even have dangerous ideas. They're not a Nazi party. They're anti-Nazi. They're not, they're friends toward Jews. They're not any, they're just anti-immigration. They're just anti-immigration. And that's enough to cause everybody else to join together to keep them out, because they're afraid they'll get too strong. And they do have more populist type and even maybe some National Socialist sympathetic members in the party, because, you know, it's a range of different viewpoints. So the effort to keep that from happening in Germany is stronger than anywhere else, and it's strong everywhere. I mean, that effort to keep anybody who's anything like anti-immigration is completely is everywhere. It's everywhere.
They're just absolute hypocrites
globally.
They're just absolute hypocrites, aren't they? They will form a coalition to try and prevent the AFD from winning any votes or from getting anywhere. Even when the AFD comes second, they'll form a coalition against them. But the minute the AFD votes with one of these other mainstream parties to do the same thing and keep this left-wing politician from leading the country, then they all scream that they're subverting democracy and the vote must be counted again. I do find it ironic that you know, exactly what they accuse the AFD of doing, subverting democracy, is exactly what they've done by forcing this guy to resign. I mean, that leader of the left party, if they're called the left, the formerly communist party, he's revolting. He's horrible. He hates the German people. I've seen him interviewed on RT. He hates the AFD. He hates the German people. He supports every left-wing, progressive, crazy cause you can think of. And he didn't win enough votes to lead. Basically, I mean, it was a hung sort of parliament. There wasn't enough with a majority. So he didn't have any right to really be leading. But he just assumed that he did, and he assumed that he would be leading the parliament. And, well, no, because the AFD decided, or the mainstream party, the CDU, I think it was, they decided that they would vote with the AFD. But the final upshot of all of this was this Kramp-Bauer resigned. And I don't understand what she had to do with it. Was it just, oh, somebody's head has to roll because this happened lower down in the party? Somebody's got to go and it's not going to be Merkel? Because I don't see what Kramp-Bauer actually had to do with this. Can you shine any light on that?
Kramp-Karrenbauer. Right. That's her name. not Kramp-Bauer, but you don't know what. Well, she just has to do what the CDU is. She herself made this rule that they all agreed to, I guess, that they would never any cooperation with the AFD, you know. And so the parties have all agreed on this, each one, which is not democratic in itself, really, because if people vote for the AFD, they make all this big deal about how democracy is the will of the people, but they don't allow the will of the people. If the people vote for the AFD, well, we have to, you know, undo that. We can't let that. We're not going to. We other parties in the parliament, we're not going to cooperate. We won't work with them. We refuse to work with them. I think there's some, you know, it occurs to me that it's the same in Britain, but there might be something else going on there with the House of Lords or something. I don't know. But it occurs to me that in Germany that everything is based on the parties. I mean, there's nothing higher except the courts than the political parties, which is supposed to be ideal democracy, I guess. I mean, the people vote in elections for these parties and who they vote for. Then these people get control of the Bundestag and they're, you know, they are able to pass laws or pass whatever they're passing for the country. And so parties are really the highest level. In the United States, we have a president that's voted separately from the parties. He belongs to a party, but he's not tied in with with the vote of the party, so that with the party that wins the most, their leader becomes the chancellor in Germany. Like Merkel has to run from some district. She has to run from somewhere, just like all the rest of them. But you know, she's always a shoo-in. So we forget that she's not being elected separately as chancellor, and none of them are. So whoever's running the party is the what?
So she's not elected by the people then. She's just elected by her party, and the party has kept her there all this time.
Well, I think so.
There must be some desire on her part to be there, because, you know, otherwise surely she would have stepped down.
Well, what about in Britain? Boris Johnson is not voted in separately as leader of the he's only the top guy in the top party in the parliament.
Yeah,
that makes people him prime minister.
Yeah, it's the same situation that we have over here in Britain. But he does mm-hmm. actually stand for a constituency. I mean, does Merkel stand for a you know, do people actually vote for her as a member of the CDU? Do the general public vote for her in one of the states in Germany? Is she the leader of a state, like the member of parliament for that state?
You know, I think so, because there's no vote for chancellor. She's is there separate?
No. I should imagine that she just gets voted in as a member of parliament, and then the CDU yeah. say we want her to be leading, and she right. has said, well, I want Kramp Bauer to be taking.
Yeah, that's why they have these coalition governments. You know, if they don't get a majority, she can't govern as well. So they have to join with another party, and then they make compromises in order to get, you know, both of them get something that they want, and then they run the country simply because they have a majority. They can count on the most votes in parliament. So everything goes through the Bundestag in Germany. Everything goes through there, and then they can count on it going their way, and that's how they govern.
So it did look like things were going up for the AfD for about 24 hours, that, you know, this rule had been broken by the CDU and they had worked with the AfD. But then there were riots and there were protests and there was backtracking, and Kramp Bauer resigned. And then after that, we had this crazy schizophrenic guy that killed his mother and killed some Turks and some Kurds, and I think they were really sort of just incidental. I think he just went on a killing spree. He said he'd been hearing voices in his head. He was being controlled by secret intelligence agencies from underground bases in America with devil worshippers in them, sacrificing children. A total nutcase, basically. Nothing whatsoever to do with the AfD. And now they're blaming the AfD for it, right from the top as well. They're saying this is the result of the AfD's anti-immigrant rhetoric, and yet there's no connection there whatsoever. As soon as this happened, I saw a spokesman for the AfD, and he said, "This isn't terrorism. What is the political motive for what he has done? This is a schizophrenic mass murderer. He's not a terrorist." And yet somehow they've managed to paint the whole narrative that this is a terrorist act. And we can blame the AfD for this. And apparently it's centered around Hamburg. You know, one of the leaders in Hamburg, they're literally trying to get the AfD kicked out because of this crazy guy. It all seems very, you know,
well, that's what they do. They use it. They use these things, you know, for their political purposes. And I don't know if this guy handed them a gift, this Ratkin handed them a gift in that way, or if his story is even real, because, you know, the way they handle these things, they've stopped talking about him now. They say they're not going to give him any publicity to encourage, you know, people to worship him or form a cult or something, you know, and they give any attention to him. But they just put out their own story. You don't know anything. I've tried to find out about his life, and, you know, I really don't know if any of it has a speck of truth in it. And I don't like conspiracy theories, but I start to doubt that he's even real, or that he's not working for the intelligence in some way, but because they won't talk about his past. I only see that. I said I saw that on a YouTube video, which I didn't think much of at all. I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't trust anything in that dumb thing. So we really don't, as far as I can find out, I don't see any past history for this person, what he was doing, you know, anything. So
they are desperate, aren't they? They're desperate to get rid of the AFD.
Yeah, they're desperate.
So
they're desperate. And
would they
and
be desperate enough to do that?
Look, at the Holocaust is a hoax. 9/11 is a hoax. The mistaken attack by Israel on the U.S. Liberty is a hoax. I mean, and then there's all these false flags that we know about. There's nothing but hoaxes. And why should it be any different now? You know, why are we going to start believing what they're telling us? So it's the bottom line is that they don't want any true democracy. They don't want the people to be able to say, well, we don't like this, we want that. And when they've got their plan of, you know, the people at the very top have their plan of how they want things to go. And we know that they, why wouldn't they? If they have the power, why wouldn't they? They do. They manage everything to, you know, prevent any ability of the people to say, we don't like what you're doing and we're going to change it. It's not the rule of the people. Democracy is a lie, and they just try to keep it, the appearance of it, up enough so that we're, and keep prosperity going enough so that, you know, we're not going to start a revolution. And they try to keep us from organizing, which is why they don't like parties like the AFD, which had started becoming successful. Because here you have people who are saying, we want to change Germany. We don't like all this super control that's been going on since 1945, where we can't say a word and all kinds of things are outlawed. So, you know, they say we have to stomp this out right now, and they'll use anything. I don't think this guy who murdered these people has had that much effect as they would like it to have. Because it seems as though this business in Thuringia with the AFD joining voting against a member of another party in order to stop the left party succeeding, which is perfectly, you know, accepted in politics. It goes on. It can go on. It's done. It has. But they don't, that seems to have bothered them much more. And this, in the Hamburg district, which just had their election Saturday, I think, for their state parties, the guy's named Farid Muller, he's the Green candidate. He said that public outrage over the ousting of Thuringia's leftist state premier Bodo Ramelow with the help of the far-right AFD is what swayed voters to back the SPD in the Hamburg election. And not the Hanau shooting. You know, it wasn't the shooting by this Ratkin guy, but it was this very thing that we were talking about, the power, the AFD using what power they have, which is a minority power, but to sway the way an election was going to go. So I think it's all about hanging on to power. It's all about keeping control, not letting democracy actually work. And we have the same thing in the United States now with the rise of the candidate Bloomberg, has decided to go forward with lots of support and actually the backing of the Democratic Party, they don't want to admit it, in order to stop Bernie Sanders, because they don't want to let whoever the people their Democrat primary voters vote for. They don't want to let that go, however it goes. They don't want to let the people decide. They're going to decide. They want to control it. And, you know, I don't want to close before mentioning that both of these front runners in the Democratic nominating process now are Jews. You know, the fact that Bernie Sanders is a Jew is well enough known, but it's not emphasized because he doesn't, you know, do a lot of Jew talk or anything. He seems to, you know, he's kind of very critical of Israel and so on. So I don't like it at all that now that he's getting more of a serious, being a more serious contender, that they're playing up that all his family died in the Holocaust. What bull? That is not true. At one time back, at some time, he said that they assumed that all these relatives that stayed in Europe or whatever that didn't come over were all dead from the, you know, all died in the Holocaust, but they don't have any actual information about it. And that's just because they don't know. They didn't know these people that much anyway. You know, these families, they act like they knew every member, 100 members of their extended family, and they know what happened to them when they have no idea and had no contact with them. You know, people only know their kind of immediate family members. They don't know all kinds of relatives, from second and third and fourth cousins and so on. But now he's willing to play that up now. Sanders is. Oh, that Holocaust thing, which is, you know, just one, as always, one big lie that his family were all wiped out. And I could go into that more. But then the same thing with Bloomberg. They put him, you know, he's coming forth. He's a Jew. If there's anything I don't want that horrifies me, is that we'd have an actual Jewish president. It's bad enough that they're pro-Jewish and super friendly to Jews, but that they're not actually Jews. So that would be a breakthrough that I don't think we should allow.
Has there ever been a time like that before where there's been two Jews, you know, in the front runners in the Democrat Party?
No. And there's hardly, I don't know if there's been a Jew, probably somewhere.
It's surprising Biden, they're not making,
you know,
more
Biden,
of it.
I've got a paragraph here of what he said a few years back about the Jews in America. It's like we should worship them. We should worship the Jews in America because they did everything, and we owe them. He ends up saying to the Jews, we owe you. We owe generations who came before you, Biden. Oh.
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
I don't know where he was speaking, but it's disgusting.
I think I've heard that. I'm surprised that, you know, the Jewish press isn't making more of the fact that there are two Jews in the running. Maybe they know that that might be harmful to them.
Oh, yeah.
For that
no,
to be pointed
out.
They
don't
normally
really
they
want to emphasize that unless
not
they
until
bring
they get
up
in.
Holocaust.
Not until one of them wins. Yeah, I think they understand that maybe, you know, that might be tipping the scales a little bit too far to be pointing that out. Anyway, we'll have to keep watching it. Best of luck to the AFD. And, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, even if if a Jew does win with the Democrats, that, you know, they're not going to win against Trump. Definitely not going to win against Trump. I think he's going to win by a landslide again. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Carolyn. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.